one heart, so many boxes. And obviously this little video that we saw is all about regrets, and we all have regrets, right? I don't know about you, but I had a lot of regrets. I just wish I could turn back the hands of time and do those things over again and do it differently. And one of the boxes in my room was the box of regrets. And there was a time when I had to open that box because I was afraid to touch the files in that box. And one of the files was something that I didn't want to touch because I didn't know how to handle what I was going to witness and see in that file. But I knew what was in that file. I knew exactly what was in that file. I was the youth pastor at Tristventane Church of the Nazarene in Cape Town at the age of 18 years old. And I was on a mission. I was really on a mission, and my mission was to build a youth ministry. And my goal was to achieve 100 young people to join our youth ministry by year end. And I was so busy with this mission, and I was busy with my plans. I developed my council, and you know what? We were excited about the goal and the vision. And so we worked the plan, we worked the goal, thinking, you know what? At the end of the year, we're going to have a great celebration. We all love celebrations, right? Especially when we have achieved some things. And so I was busy working my plan, and you know, the youth ministry grew, and new young people came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. We had revival services like this tonight, and they just flocked to the altar and you know, gave and received, and received Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. And so I got excited, and I wanted to do more, and I wanted to do more. But during that year, God's Holy Spirit prompted me to arrange a Parents Appreciation Sunday. I mean, I'm sure we do appreciate our parents. Parents who prayed for us when we were wayward. Parents that sacrificed so much for us. Parents or grandparents that stood in the gap for us when we did not know where to go, and they embraced us. Parents who sacrificed their lives. Parents who went the extra mile for us. And so I was prompted, you know, and I heard that distinctive voice telling me, Parents Appreciation Sunday. Arrange Parents Appreciation Sunday. But you know what? I was so busy with my goal. Achieving my goal was the most important thing, and I worked my plan, and more young people came, and they received the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and I was so happy about it. At the same time, while being the youth pastor, I was also working at Coca-Cola in the HR department, and then my company sent me on a business trip to Johannesburg in South Africa, and there I spent 4 days on a training that they sent me, and I was involved in training, and when I came back, I had to train 100 users on a specific system, an HR system. And so I went to Johannesburg and was busy in the training when I received a phone call. It was from my sister, and I was surprised. Angie called me, and Angie says, "Well, how are you doing?" And I says, "I'm fine, but how are you doing, Angie?" And she says, "I'm not well." I say, "Why is that? Why are you not well? And what's wrong?" And I could hear the trembling in her voice. You know, something was wrong. And she says, "I didn't want to call you, but I need to tell you this. Dad suffered a heart attack." And he succumbed. He passed away. I never had the opportunity to show my appreciation to my dad. And I struggled with this for a long time. I couldn't get over this. It was a great spiritual block in my life because it was one of the greatest regrets in my life. And I did not know what to do with that. My father passed away, and we had the service, burial service, and it took me 5 years to be able to go back to my father's grave and just visit, you know. This was the man who encouraged me. I'm a great soccer fan. I played soccer. My brother and I played on the same team. And, you know, he would be at every single game. My dad would encourage me. I remember we played so badly 1 year. We were just beaten so badly. And my father ran on up to me. You know, he came onto the field and he embraced my brother and I. And he said, "You played a fantastic game. In spite of losing to a big margin to the other teams," he said, "you played a fantastic game." And so for those 5 years, I missed those encouragements and I missed Dad being there for me. And I remember preaching at the church and he would stand at the back, and whenever I pass him, on a Sunday, after I've preached, he would shake my hand. He says, "That was a great sermon." And so here's this man missing in my life, the man that I really followed as a role model, and yet I did not have the opportunity to show my appreciation. But my dad knew that he loved me, that I loved him, and I knew that he loved me. And so we all have regrets, and how do we deal with this? And This video clip that we saw was just a reminder that somehow we have to deal with the issues in our lives. And as young people, you know what? We all have issues. You can speak to your parents, and if they are honest enough, they will tell you that they went through some very difficult times in their life and they needed to deal with it. And we have to deal with it, but the thing is this, we cannot deal with those regrets and those boxes that we saw in that room. If we don't deal with that, guess what? It's going to pile up, right? Boxes starting to pile up. And the more it piles up, the more difficult it becomes for us to deal with those issues. And then we try to get rid of it, but only to discover that those boxes are permanent. Unless something supernatural, unless something happens so drastically and so radically that it will be wiped away. And so I struggled with this box of regret, and I say, "Lord, what should I do with this?" And this is the Lord telling me, he says, "You know what? There's nothing that you can do about that appreciation Sunday that I spoke to you about. But you can surrender to me." And that's what I did. I remember one Sunday coming back from church, and I just burst out crying, and I was very emotional about this whole box of regret that I had in my life, and I was crying about it, and, you know, while being tearful and crying, that's where God met me. You see, God meets us at the point of our needs. And sometimes it takes something like death to bring us along and bring us to our senses, you know, and help us to deal with those issues in life. And I'm sure it's not just young people dealing with issues. As adults, we are also dealing with issues, spiritual issues, you know, physical issues. And you know what? We all have regrets. So the question tonight is, what really matters? What are the things that we need to do? What are the things that we need to focus on? What are the things that we need to prioritize in our lives so that we can come to a point in our lives where we don't have a room full of boxes and we are struggling to get rid of those boxes? A 7-year-old Christian woman was asked about the biggest regret of her life, and here is her response. Her response was, "Pursue holiness." And this is a statement, I want to read it exactly as she said. If I would have known that God wanted me to pursue holiness when I was in my 20s, that would have changed the trajectory of my life and saved me a lot of heartache. Young people need to learn how to pursue holiness. And so my question tonight is, do you have any regrets? And how do we deal with those regrets? There's a passage in the Bible in Psalm chapter 1, and if you have your Bibles, it's turned to Psalm chapter 1. It's a well-known portion of Scripture, and I want to share with you how we need to deal and how we can respond to this call as young people, the call of holiness. How can we be so sold out for Jesus Christ that, you know what, we don't end up with a box or a room full of boxes? And whatever box there is in your life, you label them and you know exactly what those labels are, right? And so Psalm chapter 1, verse 1 says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor the sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. And tonight, I just want to give you some guidelines as young people as to how we can deal with the regrets in our lives and how we can prevent those regrets in our lives. And I'm sure that that's our desire, even as adults, that we don't want to end up with a room full of boxes. Boxes that we cannot get rid of in our lives. So what is so important about the Word of God, and how can we relate to this situation? Firstly, it says, blessed is the man. And so in the midst of all the trials that we are going through and everything that's going on in our lives, the Bible says that we can be blessed. We can be blessed. All right, but what is it that we need to do? Firstly, we need to understand that there is a path that we need to follow. There is a path that we need to follow. Look at the young man's path, or the young woman's path in the Bible. It says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. In other words, if we know what our path is and where we need to walk and how we need to walk, we will not have the regrets that we saw on this little video that we just saw. In other words, his path, we need to know where to walk and who to be associated with. It's easy to make friends. It's easy to make acquaintances. It is easy to make decisions in life. But there comes a time in our lives where we need to walk, and we need to know where to walk, and we need to be associated with those people that will help us. A scripture in the Bible says in Proverbs chapter, I think it's 14 verse 12, that says, there's a way which seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And here we had this young lady struggling to get rid of her boxes, and she tried to resolve the issues, and she tried to hide them, she tried to tear them up and burn them up, but she could not. She needed some intervention in her life, and she needed to make some decision, and she needed to receive which was offered to her so that she could move forward in her life. And so, in order for us to deal with those regrets, we need to know the path that we are on. And the Bible speaks of two paths. The Bible speaks about the narrow path that leads to eternal life. And then there's the broad path that leads to destruction. How do we make decisions? How do we know which one is the right path? Do the right thing. You know what? I thought I was doing good when I, you know, worked my plan and building the youth ministry. I thought I was, it was God's plan, but not everything that's good is everything that is of God. You understand what I'm saying? We can do a lot of good things, but if those things are not God things, you know what? We end up being regretful. So do the right things. And what is it that God wants you to get rid of today? What is it that He needs to work in your life so that you can make the right decisions and do the right thing? What is the very thing that He's impressing upon your life so that you can have this beautiful relationship with Him, and the regrets or the box of regrets will be no more? That is the path. Secondly, we need to look at this young man or woman's pleasure. It says in verse 2 of chapter 1, it says, "But whose delight is in the law of the Lord." In other words, we need to find pleasure in the Word of God. For most, life is a fast pace and very stressful. Many seemingly need to more and more fun just to make it bearable. And have you been programmed so that you are constantly seeking for pleasure? We all love pleasure, right? You know, I love roller coasters. I don't know about you, but I love roller. I love sports. I love all kinds of things, right? You know, the thrill seekers of life, they always go higher and faster. That's what life prompts us to do, right? But in the midst of the pleasure, we can get lost. And when we get lost, it's very difficult to find our way out of our lost situation. So Pastor mentioned earlier on, we went on a hiking trail. And you know what? It was so beautiful. I'm glad I walked with him because he knew the path. I'm glad that I wasn't alone. There was somebody to guide me. There was somebody who showed me the right way. And then when we follow the right way, all of a sudden, it's no burden to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. It becomes a pleasure coming to church, a pleasure seeking His face, pleasure in reading His Word and finding what we need in that situation. And so the modern day man or woman, young man or young woman, we are prompted to seek more pleasure, whether it be in sport, whether it is, you know, in doing, working very hard in our education. You know what? We are driven to seek pleasure and to find this pleasure. But here we understand that this Christian in the book of Psalms, his pleasure is in the law of the Lord, in the Word of God. How much time did we spend in the Word today? How much time did we spend in His Word this past week? How much time did we spend in His Word this past month? And yet, that is where our pleasure should lie. True pleasure is only to be found in Jesus Christ. And so the Bible says, people in I think it is in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14, it says, people have turned from the source of true happiness, God, which is God, He is our source of true happiness, and followed another God. And the God of this world has programmed people to look out for themselves. This is also known as lovers of pleasure. We always want more. More, we want more gratification, self-gratification. We want more pleasure. And so the God of this world, which is Satan, he has blinded us from what true pleasure is. But the Christian here in Psalm chapter 1 says, his delight is in the Lord. His pleasure is in the law of the Lord. And he meditates upon it day and night. Thirdly, let's look at his priorities. And I believe if our priorities are right and our priorities are in place, we don't have to worry about the boxes that will accumulate in our spiritual room, in our hearts. We don't have to worry about that. Why? Because our priorities are in order. We know what we need to do and when to do it. In this case, our priority should be God. It says here in verse 2, and he meditates day and night. His priority was to see God. And as young people and as adults, we need to see God on a daily basis so that we do not end up with a room full of boxes, boxes of regret, boxes of failure, and all kinds of things, disappointment and discouragement and fear, all kinds of things that so easily entangle our lives. How important is studying God's Word to me? How often do I read the Bible? And so, what are our priorities as Christians? And maybe, you know what? We've been a Christian for 1 year. We've been a Christian for 5 years, for 10 years, 15 years. But it's not the amount of years that will bring us into heaven one day. It's about our relationship with God. And the only way that we can forge this relationship with God is by studying God's Word. And then you know what happens? God speaks to us, and we are able to speak back to Him. You know why? Because God wants to communicate with us, and He wants to share His heart with us, and He wants us to know what His desires are. And when we know that, we have the pleasure of doing His will, but our priorities should be right. And then our family, and then the church, and then whatever our mission is, those are our priorities. And when that is out of sync, guess what happens? We end up with a room full of boxes. We end up having regrets. We end up being discouraged, and we have no idea why we stay at the same place for years and years. And you know what? That's not God's plan for us. His plan is for us to honor Him. Our priorities. And I pray, and my desire is, and I know it's God's desire and everyone's desire, at the end of the day, when we appear before God, He will be able to say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, good and faithful servant." You know why? Because our priorities were right. Not only our priorities, but the Christian in this book of Psalms speaks about what he needs. He needs to position himself in such a way that he draws from the source of life. Look at his position in verse 3. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water. Streams of water. You know what? Water is so important because we need, in order for us to survive, we need water. Our bodies, our physical bodies need water. Trees, plants cannot survive without water. And therefore, the Christian in the book of Psalms speaks about his position. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water. My main source of life should be God. Why? Because He's the source of life. And when we read the New Testament, the New Testament puts it this way. The New Testament says, if you abide in me, and my word abides in you, ask whatever you wish for, and it shall be given to you. You know why? Because we are intertwined with the Father through His Son, Jesus Christ. The main source of our life should be God. God is the one that will sustain us. God is the one that will help us to stay on track so that we don't end up with a room full of boxes. Where do you find yourself as when you are in difficult times? You know what? We do all kinds of things. We run to friends, or we pick up our cell phone and we call the one that we are closest to, and we ask for advice. But just think about the benefits of positioning ourselves in such a way that we are close to God, and God knows what we need. Our friends and our parents cannot always help us, but what I do know is when we position ourselves by the fountain of living water, we are able to live a life that is pleasing to God. Why? Because God nourishes us and He gives us what we need so that we can move forward in our spiritual journey. That is His position. And then the Christian here in the book of Psalms, he says, after I position myself in such a way that I draw from the streams of living water, I will be productive. I will be productive. His productivity, it says here in the word, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. And so this is the statement that we should consider tonight. Am I living a productive life that is pleasing to God? Here the Christian in the book of Psalms says, he is like a tree planted by the streams of water which yields its fruit in season. In other words, he's productive. As young people, we can be so productive if we surrender ourselves to the Lord and He gives us the strength. Why? Because we are positioned in such a way that we draw from the source of life and He shares what He has. He empowers us. And we can minister to our friends, we can minister to our families. And as adults, we can be those mothers and our fathers, the fathers to our young people that will bring honor to God. Living a productive life. I think it's the most frustrating thing. And I think Pastor Shane will agree with me, if we work and we work and we work, we work and we work, and we don't see the results. Isn't that, it's very frustrating, isn't it? When we are in leadership or when we rear our children, you know what? We want to see the results for the time that we have invested in these children and in our young people. We want to see, we want to be productive and we want to see results. And the Christian here in the book of Psalm teaches us that if we position ourselves in such a way, we will bear the fruit that is pleasing to God. And what are those fruit that the Bible speaks about? Speaks about joy, peace, love, self-control, long-suffering. Those are the fruit that we need to embrace. But the only way that we can do that is when God's Holy Spirit comes into our lives and He leads us to the path that we need to go. And then the Christian here in the book of Psalms says, when I am productive, God will prosper me. It says, whose leaf does not wither, whatever he does prospers. And so whatever we lay our hands on, the Bible says, it will prosper. I think there's great excitement if we have planted a plant or a tree and we see how it blooms and the process it takes for that little plant to become a big tree. How it prospers. God says, if we position ourselves in such a way that we are in close contact with God, our Father, who is our source, we will prosper in everything that we do. Prosper in our spiritual life. Prosper health-wise. We can prosper financially. We can prosper in our relationships with one another. God wants us to prosper. In other words, I do everything as unto the Lord, and the Lord rewards me for my good deeds. Is that your desire? In other words, my success is accomplished with the help of God. 2 Chronicles says that the Lord strongly supports those whose hearts are completely His. We need to come to a point, as this young woman in this video, she came to a point in her life where her heart was given to Jesus Christ. That's how we get rid of our boxes of regrets. And then once we have done that, the Bible speaks that this Christian in the book of Psalms has peace. And this is the peace that he has. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous. It's good to know if we are in contact with God and he knows our hearts and we know him as our Lord and Savior, we have peace in our hearts. We sleep well at night. We have peace in our hearts. Why? Because we know God watches over us. And we have this freedom to move and work for him, knowing that he is with us. You know why? Because God has promised us that he will never leave us nor forsake us, but he will be with us until the end of this age. In other words, I have peace even when there is chaos in my life. I don't have to fear. Philippians chapter 4, 6 to 7 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present yourselves and your requests to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." In other words, the Lord watches over us. I want to tell you today that God has your back. He watches over you. He watches over us. And we don't have to fear. And so, as we reflect in our room, over our room, and we take stock of all the boxes, what are the boxes that we need to present to God this evening? We have the opportunity to do so because Jesus is here waiting on us to present our boxes, the box of disappointment, regrets, whatever it is. He says, "Bring it to me and I will give you rest." And so for the next few minutes, I want to invite our young people to come. And if there are any struggles in your life, or maybe you just say, "You know what, I need prayer in my life. I want God to come and help me in my struggles. I don't want to be like this young person who struggled and tried to get rid of the boxes by herself. No, I want Jesus to come into my life, into my room, and remove that." And guess what? He paid the price on the cross of Calvary. And he says, "Your sins has been paid for." And so I want to invite our young people this evening to come. We would love to pray for you and just commit yourself to the Lord. And Pastor Shane and you and your wife could come as well. And I'm asking you to present our young people to the Lord. Young people, will you come forward this evening? And maybe our adults, will you come and just intercede for our young people as well as they come and present themselves to the Lord? Pastor, would you come right now?
Absolutely. Thank you.